TCLSports.com. TCL is a proud sponsor of the Scordios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Myron on Hoops with Myron Metcalf.
Myron Metcalf here on another edition of Myron on Hoops with Manny Hill, talking basketball. Someone on Twitter, Bob Stuttleberg, says, you guys know the Twins are in first place and owners of the best record in the AL, right? There's a lot of Twins talk on this station, man, on Score North. We're just focusing on Hoops for this particular hour. And I think that's okay on a Friday, Manny.
By the way, Danny Cunningham and I just got through talking about the Minnesota Twins on Fusser Fun about 2 hours ago now. That you can find that on the Twitter at Score North. Just search at Score North on Twitter as well. And I would presume Score North Live with Matthew Collar from 2 to 4 will be talking plenty of Minnesota Twins, as will Mackie and Judd with Rami coming up at 4 later on, that you can find right here on AM 1500 and ScoreNorth.com and the Score North app.
You hear that, Bob? We're not neglecting the Twins. We're just talking little hoops. There's some action there. There's some interesting stuff there. Gerson Rosas, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that's your name, let me just say what I thought I was getting, what I thought I was going to see. That is a, like, season 9 Young and the Restless name, right? Like, Gerson Rosas. Like, you think, like there's just a certain, that's a great name. Like that, there's charisma in the name. Like Myron, there's not a lot of charisma there, man. Like, but Gerson Rosas, that's just, like, that distinguished kind of name. I think that helps when you have his background, longtime veteran with the Houston Rockets, a Houston Rockets team that has kind of become the poster child for how you want to build a modern team in 2019. Yeah, if you're Golden State and you can get Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, go for it. But nobody else but you can do that. The rest of the league is trying to figure out how you counter something like that. And the system that they've created, the culture they've created in Houston, has been nothing short of remarkable. And now he's here with the Minnesota Timberwolves as the decision maker and the guy who will shape this organization for years to come. I will say this, based on the things I've heard and read so far, Manny, is we talk about everybody getting a clean slate when you have new leadership coming in. Ryan Saunders, should he get a new deal after going through this season? What happens with Layden? What happens with some of the players in this roster? I get it. But let's give Rosas his own kind of blank canvas, if you will. This isn't Houston. And Houston was great, and what they did in Houston was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But any idea that he can somehow replicate that, I think is a bit ludicrous if you're thinking in terms of, like, near term. There are some things that he's going to have to move before he can even really get started, in my mind. This is a guy who has a salary cap issue. I think they're going to be, what, maybe $30 million less short of the luxury tax. You have to be mindful of that. You've got the contract that we're not going to discuss it here. Andrew Wiggins, you know what it is, but there's that element of it. Who do you bring back? Who do you let go? Do you make any trades? What do you do to put yourself in a position to have some flexibility this offseason? How do you make Karl Towns healthy? There are a lot of those questions, and we're going to get to those, man. I know you got a bunch of them, but mm-hmm. I feel like we have to give him a year just to get acclimated to this situation and really figure out what he has to do to maneuver, because I just don't think you can go, oh, Wiggins and make a trade. That's just crazy. Address the coaching situation, figure out what you have to do to build this team up for the future. I think that, to me, that's the reasonable expectation for him.
Yeah, I think he needs a year at least, right? Like the
well, we don't give any more than a year, though, right? I mean, we don't. I mean, this is NBA today. There's not a whole lot of waiting, man. There's not a lot of patience anymore.
Yeah, there's really not. But yeah, I think he needs at least a year, because when you look at where this team is at financially, and I keep harping on that because it's so. The Wiggins contract is really, really hampering this team and really preventing this team from doing anything that's very, very simple to try and fix this roster. It's very, very complicated. The Gorgui Jang contract makes things very, very complicated. And it's going to take some time, I think, to really get this team going in the right direction that, you know, with whatever vision that Gersan Rosas has for this team going forward. It's going to take some time for it to really take shape. So, you know, I think people are going to have to, going into the 19-20 season, people are going to have to really taper their expectations for what this team is going to be right out of the gate, because it's not an ideal situation right now. The way this team is built right now, the way they are constructed financially, it's not ideal, and it's not going to be a quick fix. There's a quick fix. There's a lot of work to be done here for this team to get back to where we want them to be.
Yeah, it's like a car lot after hail damage. I mean, yes, it says 2019 model, but it can't be at that price. You got a lot of guys on this team who are making those new model prices, but they haven't lived up to that, right? There's some damage there. I don't know how you navigate it. I mean, I have no idea how you navigate through this situation, and he'll get some time. But this is a league where Magic Johnson didn't come into the Lakers and people thought, well, give him 2-3 years. No way. They wanted LeBron James. They wanted another big-time free agent. He left before that could even happen. This is a league that will get rid of you if it doesn't feel as if you're able to do what's necessary in the modern NBA. Attract elite talent to pair with hopefully the elite talent you already have on your roster. And having Karl-Anthony Towns, there's a guy who I think people want to play with, clearly. And I think Rosas, if you're him, it's in the next 2 years, who else can you get to come here? Who else can you pair with him as the foundation of your organization? I don't know the answer to that, Manny. I don't know how he's going to get through some of the salary cap issues, but that will be the most difficult thing I think he faces. And that's so much different from you get James Harden, you get Chris Paul, you're set right there in terms of your building blocks. Then from there, you put the pieces around him. I will say his scouting background certainly intrigues me. You've got to see that P.J. Tucker is a legit piece to a potential championship team. Mm-hmm. P.J. was overseas for a stretch. P.J. was kind of bouncing around. P.J.'s not a guy that you look at and go, that guy can help us win a title. But he's been the perfect guy for that system in Houston. Clint Capella, you know, was a guy who, when they had a chance and they had Golden State on the ropes, looked a part of sort of this elite player who just did his job and did it very, very well. Not a guy at the combine or on workouts who's going to wow you in terms of he's going to be this big-time player, but fits that team. I think he will be very good. Gersan will be very good at that, Manny, putting those extra pieces in place once he gets the ability and flexibility to do that. But that is not priority number one. Priority number one in terms of personnel will be who else can you pair with this guy named Karl-Anthony Towns, who's a top 15 player in the league. That is going to be the foundation of this team. But even before all that, Manny, is there a coach? And what does he think about Ryan Saunders? Now, I think the thing is he'll sign Ryan Saunders. That's the easiest thing to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think you want to come in and go get someone else and just shake everything up and then walk into that locker room and go, by the way, Karl Towns, you know why I told you you're the face of this team and we want to keep you here for the next decade? The coach you really like is gone. I do ask this, though, Manny. How long do you sign Ryan? What kind of deal do you give him that doesn't lock you in if you're Gersan, but also gives Ryan a sense that he can coach this team and that these players in that locker room can feel confident that they don't have to wonder if they're going to walk into the locker room one day and he's gone? What do you do there?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And, you know, I think it sort of plays into some of the questions that I have for Gersan Rosas coming into this whole situation. I do have questions.
You got five questions, right?
I have five questions.
Okay. Is there music? Myron. We got music behind it? There should be music, man.
I should put some music behind it. I don't know if I really have any to put any behind it right now. But here are the questions that I have for Gersan Rosas as he steps into the president of basketball operations for the Wolves. Number one, what is the strongest trait that you are going to bring with you from your time in Houston? Now, we know, at least we assume, that the Wolves are not going to look like the Houston Rockets certainly not out of the gate here over the next year or so. Like, the Rockets are a team that they are built around James Harden, who is year in and year out now an MVP candidate. He won the MVP last year. He's an MVP candidate this year. I don't know if he'll actually get it. I think Giannis will probably end up getting it. But he's an MVP candidate. You've built this roster around him. You've got Chris Paul, and you've got, you know, surrounded by shooters like, you know, Eric Gordon and things like that. Yeah. You've got a big that rolls to the basket on pick and roll situations in Clint Capella. But I'm not sure the Wolves are going to look exactly like that. Yeah. But my question is, what sort of traits are you going to bring with you from the Houston Rockets? And I don't mean necessarily a playing style in terms of traits. I mean, what are you, Gersan Rosas, going to bring to the table that you were able to contribute to the Houston Rockets to turn them into the team that they are today? So that's question number one.
I think that's a great question. And you made a good point, Manny. I think with Houston, the only way you build that team the way you did is if you have James Harden. Mm-hmm. And there's only one James Harden.
Right.
I mean, that's my point about the Houston Rockets is that is a James Harden system that only works with him and for him. You don't have that. But I will say this. Creating a culture. Oh, man, I hope Roche is not listening. Creating a culture. And
stop using culture.
Putting the personnel around Karl Towns, that's the vision. And I think that's what you, I mean, Rosas and that team, I think that's what he had. Does he have the vision to identify and attract the players necessary and draft? Because the draft is going to be a huge part of that, right, Manny? In terms of what he has to do, finding those guys who maybe on the surface don't look like they'll be immediate impact players, but maybe you see things others don't see. But that's going to be the thing. Forget being a James Harden system. You can only do that with him. But there should be a Karl Anthony Towns system. I mean, I think that's a reasonable expectation, right? That whatever this team looks like in 2 to 3 years, it's a system where you go, man, you could really only do that with Karl Towns, and they put him in the right position to excel.
And that's a great segue, because that leads me to question number two.
Oh, we are so on point, man. Brothers unite, man. We should have a handshake, bud. That's great. I like it.
That leads me right into question number two. How are you going to maximize Karl Anthony Towns? We know that he is a generational talent. We've never seen a big guy like this that can, you know, put the ball on the floor the way he can and can step out and hit 3-point shots at an efficient rate the way that Cat does. Cat is arguably the best offensive big man in the NBA right now. And he's still young, and there's still a lot of room for growth there. But my second question for Gersan Rosas is, how are you going to maximize Karl Anthony Towns? How are you going to implement a system in place that is going to take Karl Anthony Towns' game to another level, to an even higher level than what it is right now? And the level that he's at right now is in the conversations for being an all-NBA player. Now, I'm not sure if he's going to be that third all-NBA center. It might end up being Rudy Gobert, but Karl Anthony Towns is obviously, he's an all-star. He's going to start getting paid a lot of money now with the new contract kicking in, and he's in the conversations for all-NBA now every year. So that's question number three for me.
Here's the fascinating element of that. Was that two or three?
Or two. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm losing count.
No, it's okay. It's a Friday. Here's the fascinating thing about what you just said, Manny. If you maximize Karl Anthony Towns, and he is all NBA, that Supermax deal is worth even more money, which potentially puts you in even a more difficult spot in terms of financial flexibility. So that's why, to me, it's going to be so important for him to identify cost-effective personnel to put around Karl Towns. But when you say maximize, is that a personnel thing in terms of the players they put around him, or is that a development thing with Karl himself? Like, what do you mean by maximize?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think when you look at what the Rockets have done with James Harden, we knew James Harden when the Rockets first made that trade for him in the summer of 2012, I think it was. Like, we knew James Harden was a good player, but he had been like the third guy in Oklahoma City behind Durant and Westbrook. So we knew James Harden was going to take a step up. But like, he's James Harden has morphed into an MVP candidate year in and year out. And so when it comes down to maximizing Karl Anthony Towns, for me, it's like rather it's systems or supporting cast, coaching, whatever it may be, that my question is, can they get Karl Anthony Towns to that level of being an MVP candidate year in and year out?
Is Milwaukee the blueprint? Is it
with Giannis?
Is it make him Giannis and surround him with shooters, play lockdown defense, and hope that's enough to help you get into the playoffs and compete once you get there?
Could be.
I mean, that feel, and I'm not saying they're the same player. They're not, but they're both guys who can be versatile enough, and they've kind of developed at a similar rate that if you surrounded them, which is all Milwaukee did, I shouldn't say all they did, but they put the Malcolm Brogdons around him and guys like that where you couldn't just collapse on Giannis because of the way that they could spread the floor. And then they were a great defensive team, the best defensive team throughout the year in the NBA. But what's more important, I think, is going to be my question, Manny, is do you address things offensively and just try to surround him with more talent on that end? Mm-hmm. Or do you say, if we can get stops, he's good enough to carry any players we have offensively because he's that good? I mean, what's the approach? I think that'll be a question, too.
Yeah, and we are total in lockstep because that segues right into question number three.
Oh, man.
What is
it like?
What question number three, what is going to be the identity of this team? What is this team going to look like?
What do you want it to be?
Right. And the Rockets, I mean, we know the Rockets are, they're built around James Harden, where he is a high usage player and they surround him with shooters and he's a shooter himself. And they go out and they bomb a lot of threes and they play pick and roll with Clint Capella being a roll man to the basket and finishes with lobs and dunks and layups and things like that and putback dunks and things like that. Now, the Wolves don't necessarily have to look like that. Not right now. They're not even constructed to look like that. But what is going to be the identity of this team? What type of offensive team are they going to be? What type of defensive team are they going to be? I think that sort of plays right off of the question about maximizing Karl Anthony Towns. What is the overall identity of this team going to be? So that's question number three that I have.
Is it fair, as an addendum to that question, is part of that question, how does Gersan Rosas maximize Andrew Wiggins? I mean, like, here's the reality. I know, whatever, the contract is what it is, and this team and this fan base feels as if it's stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you're going to have to realize that dirt road, that gravel road with the potholes on it is your only way to get from point A to point B. All right, you can try to turn if you want to, but it's not going to be easy to turn around and start over. You got to go down this road. So for me, Towns, obviously, building a team and culture around him is the most important thing, but is part of that getting the most you can get out of Andrew Wiggins, whether that's for this team or as an audition for another team? Where does Wiggins fit into that, what you just said?
Yeah. Once again, wonderful segue. And I kid you not, this was not planned out.
I do not
know
these questions.
Into each one of my questions.
I do not know these questions. I swear to you all.
Question number four. What is your plan for Andrew Wiggins?
Oh, my goodness. That was question number four.
What is your plan, Gersan Rosas, for Andrew Wiggins? The contract is what it is. It's not going away. It's not the NFL where it's not fully guaranteed and you can just cut bait with him after a certain amount of time. The contract is what it is. He's got 4 years and what feels like $1 billion left on the contract.
Might as well be.
What is going to be the plan for Andrew Wiggins now? Is he going to be, do you view him as a big part of the future? Do you view him as having any role with this team in the future? If not, how are you going to get out of this contract in terms of moving him on to somewhere else? Because that's not going to be an easy thing. And if he is going to be a big part of this future, or at least a part of this team going forward, which it seems like that's going to be the case, what is Andrew Wiggins' role going to be? Is he going to be the number two guy? I don't think he's capable of being that now at this point, 5 years into his career. But what is the role for Andrew Wiggins going to be now going forward with this team?
this is where I think having a guy with the Houston Rockets who found a way to make Clint Capela this $20 million man or whatever he's making. Clint Capela has its limits, clearly, right? But Clint Capela is big and athletic and just plays a role. I mean, he's consistently what he does, and he doesn't really surprise anybody. Can you maximize, at a minimum, Wiggins' athletic gifts and make him a good role player? Because I know he's going to be an overpaid role player. Mm-hmm. You want him to be a star. You want him to be the sidekick to Karl Towns. I don't think anybody believes that can happen. But can you put Wiggins maybe in a system, Manny, to where he doesn't have to be this multidimensional talent, that he can be a limited player in terms of what he's able to do and capable of doing, but that he helps this team? I am very curious to see what happens with Andrew Wiggins and what the next step is there. But they also got a point guard situation they got to figure out as well, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. And question number five, how far is this team away from being good again? That's my last question for Gershon Rosas. How far is this team away? Because the clock is ticking on Karl-Anthony Towns right now.
Oh, it's scary.
I mean, the moment he agreed to that extension, the clock started ticking. And so now you've got him locked up for 5 years, but how these next couple of years go is really going to decide, probably, I think, how Karl-Anthony Towns feels about his long-term future beyond this first initial contract extension is going to be with this team. If you can put together a team that's at least competitive over the next couple of years, you got to think Karl-Anthony Towns is willing to stay here for the long term. But if you don't, if this team continues to be, you know, a bottom feeder in the Western Conference, then you could be looking at, you know, an Anthony Davis type of situation. So that's my last question for Gershon Rosas: is how far away is this team from being good again? I think they are a little bit of a ways back, but how far back are they exactly? That's what I'd be curious to know.
And you got Karl Towns is hanging out in Brooklyn and going to Nets games. I saw him at a boxing match in New York. I mean, this guy's talking to other people, and I'm sure he's talking to some of these other young stars. And I don't know that they're saying, hey, we'd like to come to Minnesota. You want this guy to be in a situation where when he has those conversations, you have a team around him so that these other young stars go, wait a minute. Hey, just like Brooklyn this year, we'd love to come there because you might be a piece or two away. Great questions, Manny. I don't know how many answers there are right now for anybody, even if you're running the organization. I think we're going to ask Jace Frederick next. Maybe some of those same questions to see if he might have the answers. AM 1500, Score North, scorenorth.com. Myron on Hoops. We'll be back after this.
Please welcome Score North, Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. Scorenorth.com.
Myron Metcalf back here on Myron on Hoops with Manny Hill. Another Friday. We got my man Jace. Jace, you there? Jace there? Is Jace not there?
Is Jace Frederick there?
Is Jace Frederick there?
Jace, you there? There he is.
Yeah, you got stuck on my phone. Sorry.
No worries.
It's Friday. Don't worry about it. It happens.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
So if you're GM, Jace, what's your first? I mean, I'm president of basketball operations. If you have that job and you're Gershon Rosas, tell me what your first move would be.
Yeah, I mean, well, in terms of what it has to be, I mean, like, you have to make decisions on Scott Payton and Ryan Saunders. Or are we talking, like, what I would do with the roster?
Whatever your first move would be, it's your job. What's your first move?
All right, I guess what I would do is I probably would give Ryan Saunders a short-term deal and make him the full-time coach and not maybe make like a long-term commitment, but I think I did see and hear enough, mostly heard enough from players and whatnot, where they really liked the culture he created, and players all really seem to respect him, and he has a great relationship with like Karl-Anthony Towns and a lot of guys. And when the veterans, when the young guys all speak so highly of a coach and really kind of believe in what he's building, I was intrigued enough to where I'd like to see that built and like to see it play out with maybe a healthier roster and a roster that I can tinker with and potentially make better to see what he can kind of turn that into. So I guess that would maybe be my first thing is, all right, let's give this guy a shot. And maybe it is just kind of a short-term thing and see how he does with it. But I would give him a chance to kind of see what he can do, you know, with maybe a healthy roster and a bit more time to build what players seem to think was something that was going in really the right direction.
What sort of system do you think they need to put in place here, Jace? Because the Wolves, it seems like forever, at least since Tom Thibodeau took over 3 years ago, that it just seems like offensively they've just been behind. I mean, the league is sort of molded into this three-point shooting. You know, basically you take threes or you take shots close to the basket. At least that's how the Rockets have operated. And I'm not saying that the Wolves need to be the Houston Rockets in terms of just going out and bombing 45, 50 three-pointers a night. But what sort of system needs to be put in place for this team to be successful, at least right now in the short term, considering where they're at financially?
I mean, in general, like, I believe in taking at least 30 threes a game. Yeah. I don't think that's a bad number to get to, but the Timberwolves roster the last couple of years, it almost made sense as to why they didn't. I think Ryan Saunders would have liked to have run more plays, maybe where he runs pin downs to set up guys for open threes early in the game, stuff like that. But who were you going to do that with? Like, were you going to set like a pin down screen to get Josh Okogie a good look? I mean, no. I mean, were you going to set up Andrew Wiggins to get an open look from three? No. It's tough when you're only really your only big guys like Karl Anthony Towns is the best 3-point shooter. It's tough to get him consistent plays where he's getting looks, open looks from three. There's just not many of those exist. I think the roster has to change before the system can change. And I think they have to find ways to tinker with it enough this offseason where they can add shooters and they can add perimeter players who can play, you know, consistent minutes, who can knock down threes. And then you can kind of start to open things up a little bit. You can start to create more drive and kick type things, things where you get more screening actions to get guys looks on the perimeter. But first you need the players who can knock down threes. I think the roster has to be updated, I guess, before you can really create a system in which, you know, I guess you can kind of find the proper shots that people have determined are the best ones in today's NBA.
What are some of those moves, though? I mean, when you have Jeff Teague getting his option for $19 million, the Gorgui Dieng situation, the Andrew Wiggins situation, I mean, they're not that far from the luxury tax. I mean, what can be done between now and next season to give this team some flexibility to maneuver in the offseason?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to get creative. And it might be, you know, maybe there probably is somebody who might maybe take on Jeff Teague's last year of his deal as an expiring, who will give you maybe somebody who also is not a great contract, but is a shooter. Maybe you can just dump Teague's contract with like a first with a pick. You know, I hate saying that because I don't think you want to dump this year's first round pick either. Maybe in the draft you can find a shooter who can come in and contribute right away. Maybe you use your mid-level on a perimeter player who can hit the outside shot and play consistently. I think there are ways to just, I don't think it takes like a massive overhaul, but I think you need to find a way to just bring somebody in. Maybe it is the draft. Maybe it is that mid-level where right now you do, those are kind of your few assets that you can create, you know, kind of nab quality players with, and maybe that is who you use and that's what you focus on. So you can, you know, get outside shooters to kind of open things up for everything and kind of change what you can do offensively. I don't know. I know with Rosas, one of the things the Timberwolves liked is that he has kind of a long-term approach, and I think he might be maybe willing to be a little bit more patient, which people might not love to hear, but, you know, just get kind of wait and see and then make adjustments from there and maybe don't rush to a decision on like an Andrew Wiggins or something. So maybe you do just like, maybe it is the draft, maybe it is the mid-level, and you just add one or two key pieces, one or two shooters, and maybe that does open everything up for you.
I mean, well, and that's just it too, right? Like being patient. I mean, to your point, like it seems like Rosas is going to be really patient with this, and it seems like he understands that this is going to take some time to get this thing going in the right direction. But also we're at the point now where I think Wolves fans are going to have to be patient with this too, right? Like we can't really expect this team. Like I don't expect this team to be a playoff team in 19-20. Now, depending on some moves that they make and depending on if, you know, just some little tweaks here and there that they do to make certain players perform better, that might help them maybe get into the conversation for the playoffs. But I don't expect this team to be a playoff team next year. And I think it seems like the overall expectation for this team next year is going to be, in some ways, kind of a transition year, because Rosas is going to have to figure out what he has and what he needs to do with what he has and what he needs to do to try and bring in players that might fit better for this team long term.
Exactly. I don't think it makes too much sense to come in and overhaul something when you don't even know exactly what's there. Like Rosas, I'm sure, has some idea, and I'm sure he studied and worked on things leading into his interview process of what is here in Minnesota, but you don't know until you're around guys and you see it and you get an up-close and personal look. And maybe, like, say you do keep Saunders and you see kind of how he works with the team, and maybe you update the player development system a little bit to improve that. And maybe that makes the difference for some of these players in the first year, and you start to see them maybe take jumps. I don't think it's a good idea in any sense to say, hey, your objective this summer is to get off of Andrew Wiggins' contract or Gorgui Jang's or Jeff Teague's or some combo of that. You have to do that this year, because I think maybe rushing those types of things is how you end up making bad deals. And now you take on other bad contracts that you can't move off of or whatever it may be, or you give away picks that puts your franchise in a bad position for the next 10 years. You know, I mean, I think it just kind of makes sense to wait and see. And yeah, you know, I know people talk about Karl-Anthony Towns, like, you've got to please him. You can't have him be on these losing teams. But he is just entering year one of a five-year deal. So, you know, if next year isn't great, but year two is great, then I'm pretty sure Karl-Anthony Towns will be just fine. Right. You know, maybe just be a little bit more patient. Wait until some of this money comes off the books. Jeff Teague's money's off the books next year. It's not the worst idea. It's not like there should be, like, this panic mode right now. If they're not great next year, I know Timberwolves fans are sick of them not being great, but you know, it's okay to wait and see. And we also don't know. I mean, like, if Robert Covington comes back and is healthy, and they do have some pieces there where they can be a decent team, and they might not be that far away, and maybe Rosas can come in and improve kind of the player development aspect of things. And you know, that's something that Saunders kind of focused on, with grabbing some younger players on cheap contracts that they thought they could kind of mold into solid rotational players. So maybe a wait and see approach, a little bit slower approach, is not a bad way to go, because it's better than kind of forcing yourself to jump the gun and make moves that could kind of haunt you for years to come just because you were trying to get good early.
Jason, you talk about short-term money with Ryan Saunders. Can that be anything less than 2 years guaranteed? I mean, what does that contract look like in the best-case scenario?
Yeah, I don't think it can be less than two. It probably is, you know, maybe like a three-year deal. Maybe there's an option out there. I really don't want to have a coach on a one-year guaranteed deal where he's already entering into a lame duck situation. That just doesn't seem smart. Doesn't really give him any kind of authority to, I don't know, implement any of the things he wants to do. It would just seem kind of rare to say, hey, here's your one-year deal. It's kind of a prove-it year, and all the players and everybody seems smart. There has to be at least some type of security there, and I think a second year might be enough to do it. Maybe you have to go 3 years. I'm not sure, but I would definitely say it has to be more than one.
Okay, Jace, let's play hypothetical here. Let's say the Wolves do not win the draft lottery and end up with Zion Williamson, which would be the ultimate dream, I think, for everybody. But let's say they end up in the draft lottery in a couple of weeks, they end up with the 10th pick. Who are you looking at in this draft that could be, that would make some sense for this team, that, you know, maybe Rosas and Ryan Saunders would be looking at as a good fit for this team long term?
So we're saying that they are picking 10th.
10th, yep.
Okay. You know, I'm kind of been a dreamer who's liked, and I don't think he gets to 10, but I'm kind of a big fan of, like, a Cam Reddish, where I didn't really think that he got to play in the system that he, you know, like, I don't think he got to maximize his skill set last year so much at Duke, but he's the kind of prospect where, you know, he's a shooter and can certainly do a lot of things on the court. I like somebody like that. Now, I don't know if he falls to him. DeAndre Hunter also probably not getting to 10. There's a lot of dream scenarios, I guess, in my mind, where if guys can fall that I think make a lot of sense for them. There's definitely shooters out there. And that's where I think that maybe that's something where Minnesota can kind of, I don't know, maybe that is a need you can address. Because you see shooters who early on can come into the league and help right now. But a lot of those guys kind of seem to be top 10 guys who might go before them. I think when you get to like 10, 12, it gets a little bit tricky because that's kind of where a lot of big men are ranked right now, which and you don't really want to reach if you're the Wolves. But I think if they do end up 10, they could be in kind of a weird spot because after like the first eight, there aren't a ton of shooters there. So either they'll have to move up or I think maybe have to get lucky to maybe fill that need this year.
Jace, is going to be interesting to see what happens both the next season and here in the draft, man. As always, thank you for your time.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, Jace Frederick from the Pioneer Press covers the Wolves.
Good stuff, man. I think, you know, when I was asking him about, like, what some of those moves are, and, you know, he's saying they got to get creative. I think Gerson Rosas feels the same way. Like, there's no clear path from here to next season where this team gets significantly better, Manny. I mean, like, again, Rosas is the guy where you hope he has answers that we don't. But there isn't I don't see a path to it that doesn't come with you maybe hitting the lottery in the lottery or getting a player maybe at 10 or 9 or 11, wherever you are, who plays much better than where they were slotted. But the free agency thing is going to be very tricky because the easy thing is to say, go out and get better players. They may be in a situation where they have to do their best to retain the guys they have, keep the guys they have. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. After this, though, we're going to move on beyond the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I'm going to tell you why I think that we are missing a huge opportunity to acknowledge the greatest NBA team of all time.
Let your North flag fly. Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. ScoreNorth.com.
Versatile. We have a lot of experience together. I mean, chemistry is high in terms of understanding, you know, where to be on both ends of the floor. And you know, we play with a lot of intensity, and it just allows us to, you know, work off of each other, move the ball, find the open guy. A lot of playmakers who can put the ball on the floor and make a play. And you know, we play fast as well, so it's a nice style of basketball.
Myron Metcalf back on Myron on Hoops with Manny Hill, AM 1500, ScoreNorth, ScoreNorth.com. That was the one and only Steph Curry. Remember when this was going to be the year that the Golden State Warriors fell, Manny? Remember that this was the end of the run? Rome would fall finally. This team that has been the best team in the NBA since 2015. Yes, they lost in 2016 to the Cleveland Cavaliers, but there were a lot of issues there. The Draymond Green suspension, Steph Curry wasn't healthy, but this is a team that continues to dominate, and here they are again. We thought because of the way they played against Houston last year and Houston not having Chris Paul, going seven games without James Harden being able to hit any three-pointers in that series, really struggled.
And no Chris Paul in that game seven, too.
No Chris Paul, so figured Chris Paul's back. This would be the year where the Rockets finally got the job done, and they beat the Golden State Warriors. Well, that hasn't happened. Because what we found out is that is probably, when we look back at it, Manny, going to be an anomaly where we go, oh my goodness, how did anyone get that close? The same way we look at Michael Jordan's Bulls in 1998 when the Indiana Pacers take them to seven games.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't remember that.
And the Pacers were up in the fourth quarter of that game, too.
The Pacers had a big-time shot to win that entire series. But now we look back at it and go, yeah, they were vulnerable, they were on the ropes, but it's hard to knock out the king. Manny, in my opinion, this is the greatest team that has ever been assembled.
Mm.
I don't care what anybody says in any generation, and I respect all the generations. The most dominant team of all time to me is always going to be those Chicago Bulls, based on how long they did it and how long they could have done it in the modern era with Michael Jordan had he stayed and not gone to play baseball. I know about the Lakers and the Celtics. No disrespect to any of those teams. The Spurs have been able to play really well. The Lakers of the early 2000s, I get it. I don't think we've ever seen a team like this. I don't think we've ever seen a team with this level of talent. And I think we're taking it for granted. And I really feel like our generation as sports fans, Manny, 20 years, we'll look back and we'll realize that we never saw anything close to what we are watching right now with the Golden State Warriors.
Well, when you have two players on your roster in your starting lineup that have both been league MVPs and are pretty much in the conversation for league MVP every year, even if they're not winning it, and one of those two guys was the first and only unanimous MVP in the 72-year history of this league, it's hard to argue against that, man. It really is. When you just look at the way that they have, I mean, we can be mad at Kevin Durant for going there in the first place, for joining forces with a 73-win team that had just lost game 7 of the finals. And, you know, I was one of those people that didn't like it and was mad at Kevin Durant for doing it and everything. And that's all fine and dandy. But when you just look at the collection of talent that this team has had now over the last handful of years, I mean, it's hard to argue against this being the greatest collection of players ever.
And it's fascinating because I'm with you. I think KD will never, wherever whatever happens, he'll never outlive what he did and how he got to this team a year after, you know, pushing them to the brink and deciding to join the enemy, so to speak. But I still think the way they put it together, that doesn't have to work. But the way they put it all together, this dominant run is as impressive as anything we've seen. And I think it comes to an end, man. Yeah, I think KD's going somewhere. I don't know if it's L.A.
I think he's going to be a Knick next year.
That, to me, I feel like that as well. But there
I don't know if that's the best spot for him to go, but I think that's where he's going to end up.
There are a lot of people who are saying he ends up with the Clippers, Manny. My thing is this. You've become a bigger deal in the playoffs with LeBron James out. I mean, that's helped you elevate your profile. Why would you want to go to the same city he's in? Even if Kawhi comes there, you've got 3 rings after this year. What do you care? Go to New York and have fun. But I just think this Golden State team is doing something that we might not see for a long time. And we just kind of take it for granted because they've been doing it, humming along, no big deal. And then we look up and they've got, Manny, 4 rings after this year. I think they're going to get it. 4 rings in 5 seasons. We thought the Philadelphia 76ers, look at them, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, they're going to be the team to beat them. Boston Celtics and all the pieces that they have, the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis and what he's been able to do, the Houston Rockets down 2-0 now, a team like the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers, I won't be shocked if either one of those teams gets swept. Manny, it seems like this was the year where we all predicted the demise of this dominant run, and here we are again going, not only, Manny, will they win this championship most likely, if Kevin Durant stays and if Klay stays, what's stopping them from winning 2 or 3 more?
Yeah, and the sad part about it, Myron, is you look around the rest of the playoff field, like Toronto is really, really, really good. Yeah. The Sixers are really, really, really good. The Bucks are really, really, really good. Denver, same thing. The Rockets. And then it's like you look at Golden State and it's just like they are still just like so far ahead of everybody. Like it's almost kind of not fair because there's so much talent across the league now than there's so much more talent across the league now than there was even, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And there are a lot of really, really good teams. But it's like Golden State with the chemistry that we have, you know, we talked about, you know, we heard from Steph Curry in the clip coming back from break there about just the chemistry that they have. They're just so far ahead of everybody. And what's really funny about all of this, Myron, is that they don't even really look like they like each other right now. Like whole season, it's just like, you know, we had the blow up between, you know, Draymond and KD earlier in the season. And then there was the video clip of everybody's reading, you know, people were reading Steve Kerr's lips that says it looked like he was saying, I'm sick and tired of Draymond's bleep. Yeah. And all like it does kind of look like it looks like they're kind of sick of each other in some ways, or at least it looks like Kevin Durant is sick of this whole thing. But then they get on the floor and it's like none of that even matters. It's just like they're so much more talented. They're so much more connected on both ends of the floor than everybody else in the league. It's really, really, really interesting. And I think because of all of that, to your original point, I think that is why this is the greatest collection of players ever, because that they can look like they're so miserable, you know, off the court, or look like they're so miserable in downtimes during games.
Yeah.
But they're still just so far ahead of everybody else in the league.
It's just not fair. It's like Taylor Swift and her marching band versus Beyonce and hers. It's just, yeah, you both got a marching band, the Billboard Music Awards, but they're different levels. And the Golden State Warriors will always be Beyonce. No matter how good you think you are, you're always going to fall short of who she is. And that's just the reality. But here's another reality. Because, yes, Golden State has been dominant. The Lakers have been perplexing. Per Adrian Wojnarowski, the expectation is the Lakers will move forward with hiring Ty Lue as head coach.
That's not surprising to me at all.
Me either. But here's my thing, Manny. We've been talking about Gersan Rosas, and you know, we're talking about Karl Anthony Towns and how much sway he should have. I don't want a star player having that kind of power where he can say, yeah, I'd be happiest if you went and hired the former coach that my former team fired. Like, I don't know if you want a guy having that kind of power. We all expected Ty Lue as the head coach. I think everybody knew it, Manny. But how much control can you give one player, especially on a team that misses the playoffs, that doesn't have everything together? How can the Lakers put LeBron in this position? Or is it a situation, Manny, where they just didn't have a choice? You got to do whatever LeBron wants to do at this point.
See, I think it's the latter. I think it's one of those things that this is what comes with having LeBron James on your team. And I am a fan of LeBron. I defend LeBron on a lot of things when other people rip on him for things. And I defend LeBron a lot. But I'm also aware that this is the type of circumstance that you put yourself in when you sign LeBron James, is that you are building your offense around him. Your coach has to be in lockstep with him. Your front office has to be in lockstep with him and what he needs for this team to be successful. And that's the corner that the Lakers have painted themselves into. I mean, they've hyped up with these young guys, you know, Kuzma and Lonzo Ball came in with so much hype, and you know, Brandon Ingram and all that stuff. And now you look at all those players being with LeBron James, and LeBron James and being in place himself. He had the injury, obviously, and that changed a lot of things. The Lakers were playing pretty well before he pulled his groin earlier in the season. But this collection of players, while they're talented, it was not good enough for them to make the playoffs. And this is kind of the situation that you're going to be in now going forward when LeBron James is on your roster. This roster is only going to be what he envisions it to be, because it's going to be what they think is the best fit surrounding him with.
Well, I hope Lakers fans are ready. J.R. Smith is coming. Zydrunas Ilgauskas is coming. They're gonna bring Juwan Howard out of coaching so he can come back. You're basically going to have the Miami Heat.
Shumpert.
Oh, my goodness. It's just going to be Ty Lue and the boys telling stories about when they were champions, which you're not if you're the L.A. Lakers. Myron on Hoops. Manny, thanks as always. Thanks you all for listening and joining us on Friday. We'll be back next week right here on Score North, scorenorth.com.